Welcome to Chewing the Fat, special edition this Saturday. I know that, I try to stay away from as much politics as I can on the podcast, but there's so much happening around the world and so much happening here in the U.S. Sometimes it can't be avoided. And I was so fascinated with the Brexit deal. When the vote first happened, it was such a big deal. And now we're coming down to the wire, and I don't know what's going on, if they're going to make it, the United Kingdom is going to, care. And I kind of care. And I've been a fan of this guy who his studio is in London, Peter Bellerby. He is the founder, head, grand poobah of Bellerby & Company, and they make globes, and they're so cool. These globes are so cool. And Peter is such a good guy, and I wanted to chat with Peter a little bit because he's on the ground. I mean, his studios are in London proper, and he kind of feels what's happening in the country. And I just kind of want to get a feel for what is actually happening in the United Kingdom around this Brexit deal. And I wanted to talk to him about his company, Bellerby & Company, making these tremendous globes that I love so much. And you'll see how excited he is when I mention, hey, you can send me a free globe anytime. The excitement that he has when I bring that up is unbelievable. Have a good Saturday. Enjoy. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. I am so excited to talk to my next guest. I know that, I don't do a lot of politics on the podcast, and especially today I wanted to talk to this man about Brexit and what's happening with the United Kingdom and what's happening with the European Union. And Theresa May got the vote of she's okay. She got the vote of confidence. They didn't kick her out, but she did say that she was going to leave before her term was up. And I know that they have the big EU summit going on at Brussels happening right now. And for those of you, remember the Brexit deal, United Kingdom voted to exit the European Union. And now the deal that Theresa May made with the European Union doesn't seem to be that good of a deal for the United Kingdom. So I wanted to talk to someone, in the heartland, in the motherland of the United Kingdom. And Peter Bellerby is a international renowned businessman and artist for Bellerby & Company Globes. And I'm a fan of his work. But he also, his studios are in London. And so I wanted to get his thought on what's happening on the ground in the United Kingdom. And Peter, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Good afternoon. My pleasure.
So, Peter, through your eyes on the streets of London, good, bad, indifferent, yes, you want to leave the European Union, no, you don't want to leave the European Union, the people were stupid and didn't know what they really wanted, what do you think?
I mean, there are so many questions and so many answers, most of which don't bear resemblance to the reality of the situation. I want to point out, I'm not remotely qualified in politics either. Having said that, the way it's going at the moment, I'd probably do quite well in our political system because most of them are
right.
Coming up with figures just based on no reality whatsoever. The original deal, now I'll say where I stood on this. I voted to stay in.
Okay.
Although in my heart, I wanted to probably come out because I just think the European Union is unfit for purpose. Mm-hmm. But we had, at the outset, we had our politicians, the head of our bank, the Bank of England, and our Chancellor of the Exchequer, say there would be an immediate recession if we voted to leave.
Right.
We voted to leave 2 years ago, and the country has done just fine.
Right.
And if those two people are getting the economic figures so wildly wrong, then you just can't believe them. There's no reality. You don't know what you're being told,
and right.
there are at the moment, there's the deal that Theresa May has brokered, but it has this thing called the backstop in it, which essentially means that the EU can hold us within the EU indefinitely, and so we have to be part of the customs union and all the bureaucratic paraphernalia and
so
rubbish,
it's,
which is
so
why
that,
I think everyone wanted to leave in the first place.
Right. I mean, that deal has you leaving but not leaving.
Yes, but if you talk to Theresa May, it's fine. If you talk to other people who understand the way negotiations take place, then the best thing you ever do in a negotiation is have some small print near the end that allows you to completely backtrack on the whole deal.
Right.
It's the best deal you can ever get. So, and you don't really... The whole point about the EU is they don't want to make a success of Brexit, because if they do that, they'll have...
Right.
I can't even pronounce that thing. So they'll have Grexit, they'll have Italexit, they'll have Sexit, they'll have everyone wanting to leave. Because
right.
And we will do a good job of it, and that's their real concern, that if we do a good job of it, we will encourage every other country to leave. It's kind of an unfit-for-purpose institution. It originally was an economic unit, and now it's becoming way too political. They want to have their own army.
Right.
It's just, why? No one can agree on anything anyway, so why have things like armies where you will have, hey, let's not that you ever want to go to war, but we need to go to war to sort out this situation, and then you have to get 27 member states agreeing to go to war. I mean, it's pointless. It's just wasting money. And don't forget, this is an institution that has not had its accounts signed off for 20 odd years. It's never had it's crazy. But,
so those are the same people that are telling you that the United Kingdom would fall through the holes because of the Brexit deal 2 years ago, which didn't happen.
Yeah, from the original vote, yeah. So it's really difficult to... You hear one politician and they sound as if they know what they're talking about, then you hear someone else completely contradicting them. But then the problem is that we haven't got... a textbook to go and say, this is what's going to be the reality. This is the
right.
real world. We've just got politicians with their own agendas saying what they think will happen. And so it's really difficult. I'm not going to pretend to give anything other than I think as an independent nation, we are quite capable of standing up for ourselves. And the fact that the German car industry would die a death if we stopped buying their cars. So it's kind of we buy a lot more from Europe than they buy from us.
Right.
So it's kind of in their interest to make it work, but at the same time, it's also in their interest to make it not work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a
right. So that, I mean,
situation.
It's in a frustrating. You're in a frustrating position, no question. With the struggles of either or. How do you think? Do you think, with what you see, on the ground, will we make the cut? Will it hold up? And Theresa May walks, and someone else comes in and hopefully grabs onto the reins and makes a better deal, or do they force the country to vote again, which goes against almost everything anybody believes in?
Yeah, this is the problem. If they did that, I genuinely think there could be civil unrest, because it's like saying, hey, we'll put this out to the country. Oh no, you're not clever enough to. You've chosen the wrong thing.
Right,
stupid people. We'll make you vote again, and we'll try and lay it on even thicker this time, and then there'll probably be an even bigger vote. But the problem is in the House of Commons. They still have to vote through a deal because of the constitution. They have to agree to something, but they can't get a majority to agree to it. So I'm not entirely sure, but I think what will happen in March, when the deadline is, that will be it. We'll be out on a no deal basis. And then we have to just go to WTO, World Trade Organization rules and tariffs,
right.
Which is what we should have done 2 years ago. It would be much, much, from my perspective, better strategy to just say to the EU, right, we're going to go out in a month and just make them nervous about the whole thing. They have been playing the upper hand and playing us like a naughty school child who's decided to do something that they don't want us to do.
Right.
And unfortunately, we have a... seems unfair to call her a weak leader, but everything you see that she does, her body language, her negotiating, it all seems to be very weak and based in the bubble of politics rather than the reality of the commercial world.
Peter, when do you think that we will see, in with what you're seeing, when do you think we'll have an outcome? I mean, is it just going to be at the end of the, at the end of, what is it, a March or May, where we have to make the decision and come hell or high water, that's what we'll do?
Maybe in my lifetime. I think it's just going to drag on and on and on. And it's going to, there'll be so many, there are so many things to overcome. And I just don't think we have the strength of character in our politicians to push through what we need to do.
Ugh.
I think it's not it's going to be difficult. But I think we'll just come to some sort of deal that just about works, and then we'll just all crack on with it. And it's not from our perspective, it's not. I don't really think there's been any difference in what.
Day-to-day life?
And certainly in the studio and in what we do, it doesn't really make a difference. I mean, I guess we've had less interest from European customers, perhaps because they think in March everything will be 20% cheaper, because obviously they can buy it.
Right.
They can buy it without our VAT on, and if their tax rules in their country are less than 20%, then they can get it less. But and equally, half the time when things go across borders, they don't always get a tariff attached to them. So there is definitely less trade from the EU for us at the moment. But it's not. I don't think it's not something I worry about. I don't think, and I don't think people really are putting off. No, certainly from Europe, decisions. In this country, people are definitely putting off decisions. Our housing market is very, very tough.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about your business. The reason that I know of you and the reason that I'm a fan of yours is Ballerby and Company Globemakers. Peter, my wife showed me a globe from your company, I don't know how many years ago now. How long have you been in business?
10 years.
Okay, so probably 4 or 5 years ago anyway, and I was in love, and I've been in love ever since. Let my audience know exactly what your company does.
Bespoke terrestrial and celestial globes, all made by hand. I have a team of about 20 people in North London in studio, and we craft everything by hand. It's essentially... Sorry.
No. I was just, it's just, they're beautiful. And I'm in love with the way you put it together. And if I remember the story right, you started the business because you didn't have a place to get the globe you wanted to give to your father. Is that right?
Yeah. So at the outset, I wanted to buy my dad something for his 80th birthday. And I've always loved globes, so I thought it would be fun to get him a globe. And so I went out and tried to buy one, and obviously failed. I couldn't. I went into all the regular kind of map stores. I went into Harrods, and I went to auction houses. And I was left with the choice of either very expensive antique models, which kind of are amazing, but obviously they're out of date. And obviously every time you touch them, another piece falls off. You have to treat them quite gently. then I was, the other alternative was just the, what I would kind of say, this school geography department globes, which are the bright colored political globes, which are functional and do a job, but they're not something that you would put in your library or your living room or in your house as a decorative piece of work. It's there as a functional piece of work. And I just thought, if I'm going to do this, I might as well make one myself and make it how I want it to be.
Beautiful.
And I gave myself an initial time frame of about 3 months, an initial budget of a few £1,000s, and 2 years, what would be a massive deposit for a house later, I eventually produced the first go. That probably would have been about the most expensive globe in history. but obviously, I relatively quickly into the equation set up a company and decided, okay, well, if I'm going to do this,
let's do it right.
I got to a point very, very quickly actually where I way overspent the budget, and I got nowhere. I'd literally got nowhere. I hadn't even completed a single thing that I'd set out to complete. I obviously had to have a map. I had to be able to make spheres. I had to be able to have the brass meridian, the wooden base, and then I had to learn how to put the paper onto the sphere. Those are the main elements. And after 3 or 4 months, I hadn't done anything. I'd been working all the time. I just couldn't. It's so difficult doing every single process, and so impossible to find people to help you to do it, that it just took way, way longer than I imagined.
You've actually found artists now that are working for you and creating works of art with your globes. That is fantastic. And if anyone follows your social media accounts, I love the idea that whoever is doing your Instagram account has the breakdown of different countries and the special scenes and behind the stories of stories for those countries. That was a great idea. If it was your idea, good for you. If it wasn't, still good for you. It's your company.
I'd love to take credit, but my partner would kill me. she actually started about 5 years in, maybe actually about 4 years in. She quit her other job, or quit her job. And then after a few months at home, she just said to me, I'm bored, I'm going to come and help you do this. And at that stage, I had a nice little company. There were 3 or 4 of us. No stress, quite easy, nice easy days. And then Jade said she'd come in and answer the phone. And she spent about 2 days at the studio, and the phone, I think, rang once. She realized that wasn't going to work. So she said, okay, I'll do some social media for you. And to say I was skeptical is an understatement. I just said, yeah, why not? Why not? That would be really good. We've got I think we actually had set up an Instagram account, perhaps, and we had a few things going, but not remotely serviced or taken seriously.
Right.
She then just took off with it, and she worked out the whole thing herself, how to do the... she decided to do the stories about different countries and things, and she worked on getting more and more publicity. And it got to the stage where I remember one time we were having a drink in a local pub, and I think Instagram had just put us as an account to follow, and her phone was literally it was getting hot from the kind of likes and the followers who had seeing us for the first time.
That's fantastic.
And it's kind of built from that. And that really has been the thing that has driven the business now to the position we're in.
Peter Bellerby from Bellerby & Company Globe Makers in London. Peter, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And, look, I don't want to... I'll give you my address. You can send me a globe. It's okay. I don't want to say no. I silence. Yeah, I know, Peter. It's okay. You don't have to say. You can say we're not sending you one, Jeff. Get over it. I love your work. Thank you so much for your time. If you ever are in the States, I would love to meet you and talk to you face to face. And it would be great.
At least once a year, usually on the West Coast.
Right. If we can try to work it out, I would love to be able to meet you and spend a little bit of time with you. Thank you so much, Peter. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
Take care. Peter Bellerby from Cheers. Bellerby and Globe Company. I told you the excitement that he had in his voice when I asked him for that free, globe. So I won't be getting that. And I know the cell phone was a little bit of an issue. He's in London. We're in Dallas when we're recording this. But his information was great, and it's something to look forward to. And just remember a lot of what he told you when you hear the news coming out of the United Kingdom, whether it be from our reporters or theirs. Take a lot of what you're hearing as not true. Have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Oh, my gosh, on Monday with Chewing the Fat. Hashtag it, Chewing the Fat, baby.